the teaching of predestination and election is not that God believed for me. My faith in Christ was my faith in Christ.
Right.
And I wasn't saved apart from faith in Christ. I had to believe to be saved. But my faith, it's a gift in the sense that it's the result of a gracious work in the soul, the new birth.
From Walking in Grace, this is the Straight Truth Podcast, Christian truths in an increasingly secular world.
Welcome again to the Straight Truth Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Philpott, and as always, I'm joined by Pastor Richard Caldwell of Founders Baptist Church. Now, in this podcast, we are seeking to answer any question you might have about doctrine, faith, practice, Bible verses, and the like. Now, if you're watching this podcast from YouTube or maybe listening on your favorite podcast app, we would love to hear from you and interact with the sort of questions you might have for Pastor Richard. The easiest way to get a question to us is by leaving a comment below the video or by going to our website and submitting a question. Our website is straighttruth.net. Now, at that website, you can find links to all of our previous episodes as well as merchandise and contact information. With that, let's get to the question for this episode. Pastor, this time we have another question about evangelism. This one specifically mentions Matthew 7:7. It goes like this. Jesus, this is in the Sermon on the Mount towards the end. He says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." So the question is, this person says, I've heard teachers, specifically Arminians as opposed to those who hold to the doctrines of grace and salvation, use Matthew 7:7 in their evangelism pitch, saying something to the effect that Jesus is a gentleman. He won't storm in. He just knocks, and all you have to do is open the door and invite him in. So this question is evangelism even the context of this passage? If not, you know, what's going on here? If you hold to something like this, doesn't this approach place the sovereignty of salvation into the hands of man and not God? So basically, just help us understand this passage or maybe what else you could bring to this question.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of things going on in the question or in the mindset that's being addressed by the question. A lot of things going on there. So let me take them in no particular order. The idea that Christ is a gentleman, that he doesn't force his way in, this is why he knocks. I think that that's often said in response to a misunderstanding of what Calvinism teaches about salvation. Mm-hmm. The idea that if the whole idea that election, predestination, effectual calling involves bringing people against their will to receive Jesus. So sort of dragging them, kicking and screaming against their will to the Savior. And that's not what we believe the Bible teaches at all. Rather, we believe that the order of how God works in the soul when he saves people is that faith follows regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is you take the sinner who is indeed dead, blind, resistant to God, a hater of God and all the rest. How does this person hear the gospel favorably? How is there a desire for it and a desire for Christ, the one who's presented in the gospel? Answer, the new birth. Mm-hmm. And with the new birth, now there are eyes to see and the entrance into the kingdom is possible, John chapter 3. So it would be an error to think that someone came to Christ against their will. You know, Jesus is a gentleman. He didn't force them. Well, no, he didn't force them. He granted them graciously light in their soul to the degree that they came willingly. They came of their own accord.
Mm-hmm.
The teaching of predestination and election is not that God believed for me. My faith in Christ was my faith in Christ.
Right.
And I wasn't saved apart from faith in Christ. I had to believe to be saved.
Right.
But my faith was the result. It's a gift in the sense that it's the result of a gracious work in the soul, the new birth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one aspect of the question. Second aspect is this text. And this text has nothing to do with evangelism.
Okay.
This has to do with persistence in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you, then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who's in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So it's about asking an eagerness in asking, a zealousness in asking, a persistence in asking that flows from the knowledge that God is ready to give good things to His children. Mm-hmm. And the contrast, the comparison is with us, who though we are sinners, long to give good things to our children, we need to know that our Father in heaven longs to give good things to us, and that should encourage us in the matter of prayer. So the context is not evangelism. Mm-hmm. The context is answered prayer. Another text, however, that is often used in evangelism is Revelation chapter 3, mm-hmm. where the Lord Jesus, addressing the church at Laodicea, says, verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." So Christ offering fellowship if someone will respond to his knocking at the door and open the door. What's interesting is that verse is given in an address to a church, mm-hmm. in an address to the church at Laodicea. And what it seems, and it's right after the call to repentance. Verse 18, "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Mm-hmm. So what he's calling for there is a response to his reproofs. Mm-hmm. And if anyone in that church is willing to respond in obedience to his reproofs, loving reproofs, mm-hmm. he'll meet them right there on that ground. Mm-hmm. So again, it's not necessarily, and I've heard people say, well, the church at Laodicea was apostate, so this is evangelism in that sense. But I think that's questionable given the fact that he says, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline." Mm. That sounds to me more like what he does with believers. And so this is a call for believers to open the door, as it were, mm-hmm. and take him up on, or respond obediently to his call to repentance. Mm. So, is Jesus a gentleman? I don't think that even enters into the question. Are people forced against their will to believe in Jesus? The answer is no. God changes the will. We come willingly at that point of our own volition because God has granted a change in our will, our desire. Do these passages have to do with evangelism? No, is the answer. They don't. One has to do with answered prayer. The other has to do with repentance as Christ addresses the sin of a church.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode of Straight Truth. Now, we'd love for you to share this episode with friends and family and to subscribe. The easiest way to do that is by going to our website, straighttruth.net, and there you will find links to all of our social media channels like Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. Now, Straight Truth is listener supported. If you'd like to find out ways to help us to continue to produce this podcast, again, you can find that at the website, straighttruth.net. Straight Truth is a production of Walking in Grace Ministries, the preaching and teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Caldwell. For more information, go to walkingingrace.org.